All right.
Dido.
So should we
Good.
just work our way through Isaiah and finish that? Or
If
did you
you'd
have
like,
something else in mind?
let's do a couple of chapters in Isaiah, and then let's talk a little bit about. I looked over that show, I've got online on your End Times News thing,
Yeah.
and maybe we can talk about one or two things there too.
Sure.
Okay.
That'd be good. I mean, I think we only have what?
I don't think there's too many more.
We're on
There's 60
56 or
chapters.
57.
Well, we're on 56, and I
Oh,
think
yeah, we
there.
probably won't finish it
Oh,
then.
you're
There's
not going to
60.
finish today. I'm
No.
suggesting we only do like two chapters here, and then we'll
Okay.
switch over. But yeah, this is a good chapter. I was reading it before.
So we're on 57.
56.
56. I don't know why I keep on saying that. Okay.
56. Okay, let's open in prayer. Father, thank you for this day and this time we have together again. We'd ask you to be with us in everything we say here and that you would open our hearts and minds to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 56, King James Version. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice. For my salvation is near to come and my righteousness to be revealed. I want to just ask a question. You know, before Jesus began his ministry, John the Baptist came and was, in essence, calling the people to repentance, just like Isaiah is here. Keep ye justice and do justice, for my salvation is near to come. And here Isaiah is. Saying, giving that message too. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the stranger that has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus said the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it. And taketh hold of my covenant. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. The Lord, which gathereth the outcasts of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others to him, beside those that are gathered unto him. All ye beasts of the field, come to devour, yea, all ye beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind, they are all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs that cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they're greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain, for his quarter. Come ye, they say, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant. Let's talk a little bit about this chapter. The verses 3 and 4 speaks of two groups, the stranger and the eunuch, both who, on the basis of the law, might have thought that they had no share or could have no share in God's covenant relationship. But God singles them out, I guess, as an example and says, you can have a relationship with me, even though you're a stranger or even though you're a eunuch. I think that's a message or a precursor of the message of the gospel when God opened up his salvation to the nations. In essence, this is the message that Isaiah had too.
I could see why a foreigner would question if salvation isn't to them, because you would think that there might be some national restrictions. On the other hand, I don't know why a eunuch would think that.
I think there are in the law certain, have to look that up.
If
I
anything,
don't know the references, but apparently there was some stigma on being a eunuch. And let me see if I can find something for you real quick here. I'm gonna look the word up and see if it leads to any pronouncements. That's the first reference in the Bible. Wow.
wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Pink always says that the first reference to something usually defines its meaning throughout the
Yeah.
rest of Scripture.
I'm just looking.
Well, it's okay. I mean, I
I
don't want
can't,
to.
no, I can't find anything.
Yeah, okay. I mean, we don't have to spend too much time on that.
Yeah. Whoops, what did I do? Oh, I thought I lost it there for a minute. Because in verse 8, again, he says, "The Lord which gathereth the outcast of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others to him beside those that are gathered unto him." So, of course, there were the 10 tribes that were scattered just before Isaiah began his ministry, because when the Assyrians came in and deported everyone from the northern tribes, and God promises to bring them back, but then he also promises to add even others besides the 10 tribes that are scattered to he will gather others too unto him. Well, that's good news. Chapter 57, would you read that, John?
Yeah. The righteous perishes and no man takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away, while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. But come here, you sons of the sorcerers, you offspring of the adulterer and the harlot. Whom do you ridicule? Against whom do you make a wide mouth and stick out your tongue? Are you not children of transgression, offspring of falsehood, inflaming yourselves with gods under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys, under the clefts of the rocks, among the smooth stones of the stream is your portion? They are your lot. Even to them you have poured a drink offering. You have offered a grain offering. Should I receive comfort in these? On a lofty and high mountain, you have set your bed. Even there, you went up to offer sacrifice. Also, behind the doors and their posts, you have set up your remembrance, for you have uncovered yourself to those other than me and have gone up to them. You have enlarged your bed and made a covenant with them. You have loved their bed where you saw their nudity. You went to the king with ointment and increased your perfumes. You sent your messengers far off and even descended to Sheol. You are wearied in the length of your way, yet you did not say, there is no hope. You have found the life of your hand, therefore you were not grieved. And of whom have you been afraid or feared, that you have lied and not remembered me, nor taken it to your heart? Is it not because I have held my peace from of old that you do not fear me? I will declare your righteousness and your works, for they will not profit you when you cry out. Let your collection of idols deliver you, but the wind will carry them all the way. A breath will take them. But he who puts his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. And one shall say, heap it up, prepare the way, take the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to receive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry, for the spirit would fail before me and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness, I was angry and struck him. I hid and was angry, and he went on backsliding in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will also lead him and restore comforts to him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him who is far off and to him who is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked.
Thinking more about this, I know that when Isaiah says, or the Lord says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit." Reminds me of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed." In other words, it's to the lowly, faithful ones who are not proud. They're the ones that God is going to be pleased with. Just like with this the stranger and the eunuch that we were talking about, it's not because they're strangers and eunuchs. It's because even though they're strangers and eunuchs, he's noting that they're choosing the things that please him and taking hold of his covenant and being faithful to him. So it's that faithfulness and desire to please him that is what counts with him, not your birth or, your lineage. It's those spiritual matters. I think that's good to keep in mind.
I like those opening verses because people say that all the time, like, here's a Christian or someone who followed the Lord and yet they died or they were taken away or perhaps
Oh,
some would
yeah.
think too soon, And I love how it says that, merciful men are taken away and yet no one considers that, yeah, the righteous perish, but the righteous is taken away from evil and that he shall enter into rest. It's so like we think that it's a tragedy that, oh, they lost their life on this earth, and yet no one considers that, no, the righteous was taken away from evil and that they've entered into rest.
That's very true. Very true. Yeah. Much more important to live a righteous life. And when you go, you are going in the time of the Lord than to live an unrighteous life. And it's always in turmoil the whole time because you're always striving for something in your own strength, and that's not without the blessing of God,
Yeah.
So I was looking at your end times news today. I guess what does he come out once a week with a new
Oh, I think it's probably
sermon?
almost, it's like almost every day, I think.
Including a sermon? Or a
Well, he
talk?
has a podcast like every day.
Yeah, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I was
Yeah,
looking at
they're.
the podcast and I like today's podcast. Did you see the one he did or yesterday, I guess?
What was the title? What I
It was
do,
about,
Dad, by the way, is that
yeah,
I don't listen to him daily
daily.
because I try to bank them. Because when we
Yeah.
go to LA, we'll have enough
You
time to
want to
go
have
through
something to
about,
play.
we'll have about two
Yeah.
or three at least that we'll go through.
Right. Well, what he was talking about was that this Canada supposedly passed a law that's banning any public display of religion. And
This was
so he
today's podcast.
was yesterday's, I think,
Oh, okay.
Saturday. It was on Saturday. So I don't know. I can think of an end times connection. Sometimes I think he just talks about it in the sense of, well, this is how bad things are getting, you know.
I don't think that he's always tying things into him and times. I think he's just saying, and I think his perspective is these are the end times.
Yeah,
And
and
so,
this
therefore,
is
all of these headlines pertain to the end times, since those are the times
yeah.
that we're living in.
Well, the thing I was thinking that it reminded me of is actually what Paul says when he's talking in Romans 1 about he's not talking, that's it. I was thinking about this. He's not specifically talking about the end times. It seems like he's talking when he says that they didn't like to keep God in their knowledge.
Yes, that's a good point.
Certainly sounds like what he was describing is going on in Canada, because the argument was that they want to be a secular society
That's
where there's
amazing.
no religion in the public sphere, in this public space.
Yeah,
You can have your
Canada.
religion in your private house, but they don't want to see it in public.
Wow.
And it's particularly
That's pretty amazing.
right now, the subtlety of it is right now it is sort of targeting the Muslims, which again, I can't understand because the liberals are always so protective of the Muslims, it seems. But this definitely is initially at least going to affect them a lot more. It's going to affect Christians for a very simple reason. There aren't that many Christians that are making have public that are publicly displaying their religious beliefs.
I
It's
always look at
somewhat of
things
a,
like that as a Trojan horse.
oh yeah, that's what he says too.
Yeah, I mean
It's
that
he
everything
says
that.
don't say that because the principle that is being established here isn't specifically for Muslim, it's for everybody. So
Right.
you may
And
not
people always
today
fall
that may.
for that trick where they'll say, oh, well, that's okay because that's affecting those people. Or the, you know,
Yeah.
but they're not attacking Christians. It's like, dude, they're just getting their foot in the door.
Yeah, that it's if they can do it with the Muslims, they can do it with anybody.
Yeah.
Because that's actually the hardest nut to crack. They're
Yeah.
the ones who are out in front of, with the daily prayers and wearing the religious, covering their heads and faces and stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well,
Canada has. For the last couple of years, they're just out of control.
who? The Muslims?
No, Canada.
Canada. Oh yeah, it gets worse and worse every day.
Yeah, I mean that
Which?
they're out of control.
So what? This is the connection I see with the end times and all this. Besides the fact that like you say, it's a foot in the door. It's a slippery slope. Once they establish the principle that they can restrict religious practice or religious expression, I mean, that's they then control everything that goes on with regard to religion in the public sphere. But when Paul says all this about the people, who is Paul addressing, I should say, when he says, because that which may be known of God is, for the invisible things of him from the creation out of the world is clearly seen, and they are without excuse because they know they can understand God. But because that when they knew God, they glorified him not. That's what, and therefore they became vain in their imagination. And then in the In the end, he says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. He's talking about mankind from the way from immediately after the fall. It's not like he's talking about just about the people in his time or just about the people in the future. So he's talking about the pre-flood generation.
Yeah.
Which then
That's a
reminds me of
very,
Christ saying,
my love, can you turn that light off, please, when you get a chance?
which reminds you of Christ saying, and again about the days of Noah. You know,
Yeah.
what you saw at the
Now they
beginning is what
rebuild.
you're going to see at the end. And so I see that as an example of an attitude of being unwilling
That's.
to acknowledge that God even exists. They don't want to know about him.
Yeah, that's really interesting. First of all, I never thought about who Paul was addressing. I always thought, well, I don't know what I thought, but I guess I never really recognized that it was the pre-flood, the antediluvian people.
Yeah.
Didn't know, I
And
didn't
then, of
realize
course,
that.
people, them in particular, yeah.
And that's an important distinction because now yours, once you recognize that, you're able to make the link to Christ's statement that as it
Yeah.
was in the days of Noah. That's really, that's a profound insight. In other
Yeah.
words, that same spirit is at work today.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And you know, immediately following that, he lists the he's got those four verses being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity. He lists all of the unrighteous practices and attitudes that they have.
Yeah.
So, pretty interesting.
So
And
it's that key phrase is they did not like to retain God in their
yeah,
knowledge.
that is the key phrase.
I think
That's
that.
what I'm seeing in that Canadian law, clear and plain. If
Yeah.
you Because they say that's what they want. The motivation for the law is simply that they want to create the secular space where God is, there's no religion being manifest in it.
Yeah, because that, I think Paul also talks about they suppress knowledge under unrighteousness. I think it's in the same chapter. It's they go hand in hand. So, in other words, if you're, my love, can you take these, please? If you're busy suppressing the truth in your life, you don't want to go outside and, maybe on your way to the mall, see the Ten Commandments plastered on the wall or something,
No.
because then that's gonna be a reminder of, oh yeah, that's right, there is a God, there is judgment, there is a standard, and it's like that's offensive, and it's like I'm trying my hardest to suppress this truth, and now here I am being confronted with it. I can't even drive through my own city without being, you know what I mean? I think that they go hand in hand. And if you
Yeah,
ban
you're
all
right.
those things, it's like now I can fully suppress the truth.
I don't have to be reminded. I can put him out of my mind.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think that, yeah, there. Anytime that those convictions come up, you can just drown it out and suppress it. But you don't like those moments of your spirit crying out. So you need to minimize those as much as you
Yeah.
can.
Now, there's one other connection I want to make to all this, and that's with Thessalonians. He talks about the man of sin. Where he says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And again, here, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they shall believe a lie. But what's the, where is that? Even him. I saw. Okay, anyway.
What?
Oh, here it is in verse 4. I'm got too far ahead. It says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God." It's that opposing all that is called God. That's
That's not a
again what
good.
I think is an aspect of what you're seeing in Canada. So you got it. I'm not saying that's the Antichrist, but it's certainly an aspect of the Antichrist.
Yeah. I was thinking about something like that earlier today, and now I can't remember what it was. I think this is what I was thinking, is that there's an attempt to, and I guess this has always been the devil's goal, is to recreate the world without Christ. And so you have another, you've got another gospel, as the Bible says, and it's Satan's gospel. That is Satan's gospel. That if you do good and try hard, and we can reform society, and we could do all of this without any notion of needing a savior.
The divine being, even a create any notion of a creator. I don't know who it was, or I don't know where. Recently, somebody was talking about this. I don't know if it was something I saw today, but they were pointing out in Revelation when the angel comes and preaches what they call the everlasting gospel, it's basically a call to the world to acknowledge the creator. And that's in the middle of the tribulation, where this angel sent out to preach the everlasting gospel to all that are on the earth. So it's that denial of, I think there's one of the things that's at essence here in the satanic agenda is the denial of the creator. Where again, you
I
have a
mean,
totally
that,
set.
yeah, I think that that's essential, because obviously you can't, everything is dependent upon that, first of all. That's why, yeah, you've got to have theories of evolution and things like that, because if you were to say, we can do all of these things and we can do all this apart from God, and then someone says, yes, but who created us? Oh, yeah. Obviously that whole concept has to be done away with first. And yeah, you can't have a creator and still do things on your own. So everything has to go.
Definitely. For man to become the sole possessor of heaven and earth, there can't be a creator in the way.
Right. I think I may have mentioned this before. I think that the whole transgender agenda is essentially saying that there is no creator. You can be your own creator.
You know all those things you said about that transgender thing with the rainbow and all that. I heard somebody give me a song and they said exactly the same thing.
What do you mean specifically about how I
They were
said we
making all
are?
those connections with the rainbow and how they were the people they hide numbers that they hijacked the
How I
symbol.
said that they were taking it saying, "Oh, I can be as wicked as I want to be now, because for lest I remind you, remember
The
this covenant
rainbow,
you established? You can't destroy me."
yeah. No, I think
Somebody
somebody.
else said that?
I think somebody else. I said, I can't believe it. Said the same thing John said.
You know, Carmen and I, not to boast, but we have that experience frequently when we listen to Charles Lawson or any of these people. I go, haven't I said the same thing? And
Well,
it's
that's
like,
good. That's a good sign. I see that what on things that I've where I see somebody else saying something that
oh, I think it's a
I
great
felt was
sign.
true. It's a good sign because to me it indicates that that's the Spirit of the Lord revealing these things to his people. So you see it and other people see it too. If you're the only one that sees it, I'd start to question. But when
Oh
somebody else sees
no,
it too, I
absolutely.
like
No,
that.
I always take it as a confirmation.
Yeah, that's what I mean,
Yeah,
a
I
confirmation.
love that.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Particularly when it's people that I respect and admire. I mean, if I see something that Charles Lawson says, I'm like, oh man, I know I'm on the right track. So no, that's very comforting, reassuring thing. But that in particular, I haven't heard anybody else. I thought that that was an original thought of mine. It was. But I think when you put it out there in the world, it
But
gets
here's
caught up
another
into the
thing that's
zeitgeist or
interesting.
something.
In chapter 10, when you know that angel I was talking about, here's how it starts. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was, as it were, the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth and cried with a loud voice. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices, and when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write. Oh, and he said, seal the things which. And the angel which I saw stand on the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein, and the earth and the things that are in. Okay, again, there's the creature, creator. You swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer.
Yeah, just to provide some context, I don't, and maybe for Cammy listening, and I don't know if you remember, but I was saying about the rainbow thing. I was saying why, and this troubled me for a long time. I was like, why does the LGBT community, why is the rainbow their symbol? Like, why the flag and all these things? And I was like, that's so strange that it's not a, I mean, that is a sign of a covenant that God has established. So why would they choose that? And then it hit me one day. I was like, oh, that's why. Because instead of it being a sign of the covenant, which it is, they look at it as being now this is a banner of protection. You see what I mean? That's why it's their flag, because a flag is a banner, right? We march under this. Because you promised that you would never destroy the earth again due to its wickedness, like you did with the flood. So now we can march under this banner of the rainbow and be as evil and as wicked and perverted as we want to be. And you, according to your own covenant, can't destroy us. You see what I mean? And it's so, I thought that was profound. Who was this guy that said that?
I'm not sure. I can't
Oh.
remember, but funny thing is, I think it might have been Johnny Bravo.
I
He's a very unusual
can't believe
guy.
you would say that.
No, you know why? The guy apparently is a Christian. He's just not a very orthodox one. But
I
he
mean,
every
because that's a
once in a while,
very,
it's very deep thought.
yeah.
And I was so, that's why I was so shocked. But Something happened. It was a couple of months ago, and something happened that really, I think it was the Charlie Kirk thing. It got everybody really shaken up.
Yeah.
And I think it was after, in response to that, that he made that statement. And I said, I can't believe it. He's saying everything that John said.
That is crazy. Well, thank you for remembering that
Yeah.
I said that.
But I know that's what the context was. I know it was right after Charlie Kirk.
Wow.
Because the guy who supposedly shot him, oh, that's when he had that transgender boyfriend, they were saying it, and that's what was provoking him. And he was getting really hot about it all.
Yeah, that's a whole nother topic that I've noticed too, is that a lot of these murders or tragedies lately have been perpetuated by transgender people. And I don't know what to say about that, other than that I've recognized a pattern.
And that angel I was talking about was the wrong one. The one is the one that it taught that preaches the everlasting gospels in Revelation 14. And he says, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell in the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. So there's that acknowledgement
Of the
of the
creator.
Creator. Yeah. And that's immediately before Babylon falls. That's the next angel says Babylon has fallen.
Last thing I want to say about the rainbow, this is something that the guy from End Times Headlines said in one of the podcasts that we just listened to last week. I never realized this. This is probably nothing profound to you, but I never recognized it. He said that when we see a rainbow, we only see the arch on this earth, but it's actually a full circle, and the other half is before the throne of God. And I don't know where he got that from, but he did say that, right? And I was like, oh, that's really, really interesting, because I was thinking, that's
I
so
don't know where
cool
he
to
gets that from either, though. That's kind of
he was
strange.
I don't
I'd
know,
like to know, where he
but
got.
that's what he said. And I guess my thought was like, oh, that's really interesting to think about that. That's why we only see an arch, because it's actually a full circle. And I guess the other thought I had was, it's interesting to think about that next time you see a rainbow, that, wow, as I'm looking at that rainbow, that's simultaneously in front of the throne of God.
Maybe it's that as in heaven, so in earth principle.
Oh, yeah.
If the rainbow is, if you see part of it on earth, then there's another re heavenly rainbow too.
I mean, that's pretty cool to think about.
I don't know what he, where he got that from. That's hard to
Yeah, I don't
say.
know where he got that from, but I never heard that before, and I thought that that was really interesting, because I think that would lend a lot more significance next time you see a rainbow, right? Instead of just thinking, oh, look, the rainbow. I don't know. I didn't know if you had heard that before.
About that, no, I
Yeah.
never did. I never saw, I never, no, that's a whole, first time I've heard that.
Okay. Well, that's why I just wanted to, while we were on the topic, I remember hearing that last week.
So anyway, we were talking the other night that we should probably try to talk about more contemporary issues. And so
Yeah.
the read that's why I looked at the end times, but
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I don't know how to approach it. I didn't know if that would be it would be a matter of looking and seeing, commenting on what he says, or are talking about things that we see
I think
in
both.
both.
Both and, yeah.
And okay.
I thought that the way that it was approached tonight was great. And I tried to listen to him regularly, and I'll just have to start jotting down notes or discussion topics.
Well, yeah,
And
and/or things that you
obviously,
see, and then
yeah.
the thoughts that come up if you have any during the week about what you hear going on.
Yeah.
But that's because I couldn't really see too much thinking about what happened this week.
I was thinking about that this afternoon in thinking about this Bible study. No, and I was just thinking, if I had the podcast or the responsibility of coming up with podcasts every day about current events and time or looking at them from a biblical perspective, I don't
That
know
would
if I'd
be
be able to produce something every single day. I mean, I don't
no,
really.
it's quite would be very difficult. It would.
Yeah.
Because you don't always see something. There are, and again, the things that you are seeing now tend to clump into like categories. The AI category,
Yeah.
one, that's a big one. The war on food that you were talking about the other, natural food anyway.
Yeah.
You've got the gay agenda, although that right now has calmed down for some crazy reason. Probably, but it seems to have.
What else is left at this point?
Don't know.
I mean,
Yeah, that's true too. Well,
I
they got slapped down a little, is what I think is the reason, because they lost ground on the what do you call them? Those transgender readings of children's stories in schools and
Yeah.
stuff that sort of got slapped down. So I think they're sort of maintaining a lower profile than usual. Because, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's I'm going to not only does he have the podcast, but he has just the articles that he's always, and those, there's a flood of those all the
Yeah,
time.
right.
So I'm sure between now and next week, it's not going to be hard to for me to compile a list of
Sure.
things, and
Yeah,
we'll just have a free form.
yeah,
I think
let's
that'd be a
try to
good
share.
approach. I think that'd be a nice break, right? We'll just
Okay.
try to have a free form conversation and go to the scriptures
Yeah.
when we can.
Okay. And I will try to take some notes during the week too and see how it works
All right.
and share some thoughts. I like
I
it.
think
All
this was
right.
good, Dad.
Okay, John, Carmen, I'm gonna sign off this time. I didn't
All right.
sign off last time. I turned on my computer and I'm still logged in. I didn't know that could happen.
Oh, wow. All right, Dad.
Okay.
Have a good week, Dad.
You too. All right.
All right.
Bye bye
Bye-bye.
now.